Time now for radio theater here on Northland Morning. And joining us on the phone is Jeff Madison. He's the director of the Undergrounds production of Gilbert and Sullivan's Ruddigore. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you on the line with us this morning. Apparently, Ruddigore is also known as the Witch's Curse, and it's a supernatural opera. And it opened first in January of 1887. It ran for 288 performances, but then they didn't revive it for close to 30 years or over 30 years. And then they recut it and gave it a new overture. So,
That's correct. So
are you doing the original 1887 version, or are you doing the new and improved version that debuted in the 20s?
Well, we're doing the new and improved in the 20s, and we've also done a little bit of trimming ourselves, so it's down to a very, you know, neat hour and 35 minutes total, which is about what I find modern audiences really relate well to, that amount of time. So the first act is about an hour, and the second act is about 35 minutes, and that seems to be just about right. One of the things to keep in mind, you know, there just weren't a lot of options in 1887, so if you went to the theater and it was going to be 3 hours, 3.5 hours, well, that's great, because what else are we going to do tonight? We didn't have Netflix or Candy Crush or Facebook, and so...
Imagine life without those things.
I know. So they expected a bigger evening. But tonight, you know, our performance is about 2 hours with an intermission. And we just sort of take the air out of it. And then the jokes are just right on top of each other. It's fabulous comedy.
Tell me a little bit about that as a director who looks at a piece of work, and I'm thinking about any piece of work. There's a playwright whose name is right in the front of my head, and I cannot think of his name to save my life. He wrote Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Is that Tennessee Williams?
Yes.
Who writes, in many instances, he kind of writes the same thing several different ways so that you could either have a show with a lot of nuance, or you could cut it and sort of cut to the chase a little bit more. What are we losing in terms of literature and words and communication and ideas when we need to start being aware of the fact that audiences are just not going to sit still for 3 hours anymore?
Well, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about Gilbert and Sullivan is that it's multi-layered. The music is certainly beautiful, and it stands toe-to-toe with any of the serious music, serious classical music that was coming out of that time period. And the book itself, the stories, the characters are very interestingly drawn. They're really witty, and they're very, very funny. So you have as I said, the multi-layer. So there's a little bit of the slapstick and the goofy faces and the funny situations, so that's instantly accessible. And then for those literary folks that love tongue twisters and interesting turns of phrases and, you know, Victorian age subtlety, it's all layered in there, so it really does, I think, appeal to a very wide variety of audiences. In terms of what we lose, you know, some of the things that we do, that we've done, this is the third time now, third year in a row, where we've done some Gilbert and Sullivan, we do trim down on the amount of verses in the songs. Again, this goes back to that idea where, you know, the evening out at the theater was a big evening and a long evening. So they would write 3-4 verses for a tune. And I've actually found that sometimes it feels as if they were trying to fill time.
Well, so if you're going to pay, you know, if you're going to pay 25 cents for a ticket, you know, man, you don't want to be shortchanged. You want to get your full 3 hours.
That's right. And so... So sometimes it felt like you read some of these verses, and all of them are truly brilliant and truly wonderful and funny as a read, but it does start to get repetitive. And so you kind of go, all right, well, let's cut right to the heart of this and pull out the situation that keeps the story moving forward. And so...
What I also hear you saying is that just because something was written in its original one way does not necessarily mean that it should be considered sacred and high art. And sometimes a little judicious editing can improve many things.
Well, absolutely. You make a great point. The phrase, you know, original and uncut. Well, for crying out loud, I've done so much. I've done a few Mozart operas completely uncut, been on stage for, and you just think, oh my gosh, we're just churning out the same stuff over and over, another verse, another, you know. The reason why I think Ruttigor had about a 35-year time away was a couple reasons. One, it was long in its original form, and I think... the story didn't propel itself forward quite so well. And then they had a few others, like the Mikado, HMS Pinafore, Pirates of Penzance, where they would revive while they were doing their, you know, preparing another new one. And so it just kind of got pushed to the back of the line and didn't come back around. And it really comes down to, you know, what's fashionable at the time. And so today, I think that this show it's extremely witty. It really plays well for a modern audience, poking fun at melodrama and, you know, our 24-hour news cycle and our TV watching habits. Everything is blown into large proportion, and so these characters are blown up into large proportion, and then we make fun of them. It really is just—it's glorious. It's so fun.
So, is this the kind of thing that you bring your kids to, and the kids are, you know, thrilled with the action and the slapstick and the laughter, and the adults are getting the text and the subtext and the sub-subtext, and everybody has a ball?
I couldn't have said it better. This is definitely a family-friendly show, and all of the funny little kind of cheeky humor that, you know, you might find to be moderately suggestive is all decorated in such flowery language that, you know, it makes it very family-friendly, and it's exactly right, just as you had said. It's kind of fun for all groups, and then you do find... this real fun demographic that comes out of the woodwork for Gilbert and Sullivan. I'm always surprised to see a lot of folks that will kind of come from far and wide. I know the Playhouse has been getting handwritten letters saying, oh, I'm so excited about Ruttigor. It was the first show I saw in 1948 or something like this, and I just am so excited to come see it again. You know, they come out of the woodwork. It's real fun.
So what we need, of course, to be thoroughly modern is to come up with some sort of a cute name for this demographic. So that's something that you can work on. And the next time we have the opportunity to talk about a Gilbert and Sullivan show, we'll have a little catchphrase to encapsulate this demographic.
Well, and I'm doing my very best to build the demographic and the generations behind it.
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity for folks to go out and see the kind of show that they might not normally see and say, I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to go and see something that isn't a standard musical or that is not a standard stage play and see what you think. You may come away with a new passion. You may be part of a new demographic.
Absolutely. Well, and what I can say is that the Gilbert and Sullivan and their comedies are a direct ancestor to the Noel Coward, Cole Porter era, all the way into Rodgers and Hammerstein, Frank Lesser. There's a direct line in, like, lyric musical comedy. And so if you're a fan of musicals, if you're a fan of you know, Oscar Wilde style comedies, funny, subtle stuff. You'll love it.
So when you bring the when you decide to get a couple of tickets for this and you bring them home and you hand the, you know, your partner or your date or whoever the envelope and they open it up and it says La La Land and then underneath it says, no, really, we're going to see Gilbert and Sullivan's Rudigore.
Well, I think you could sell Rudigore on its own merits. You know, we're going to have a night out at a super cool theater and spend 2 hours laughing.
Sounds marvelous. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Jeff Madison, our guest this morning on Radio Theater. Radio Theater on KUMD is made possible in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.